Please take out your Bible and turn with me to the book of Romans. Book of Romans, we'll be reading this morning from Romans chapter 5. If you don't have a Bible and would like to follow along, you can raise your hand and one of the ushers would be glad to bring you a copy of God's Word. And if you do have one of those church Bibles, we'll be reading from page 886. We're reading from Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. This is what Holy Scripture says. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. For while we were still weak at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This day, this entire weekend, is about God and God's faithfulness to us in particular, to us as a church. One of the ways God has been faithful to Grace Fellowship Church is by his sweet and kind faithfulness to this church's senior pastor. And that kind faithfulness has come in many forms, most often through his people. There are influences that God brings into your life that shape you in profound ways, and looking back, you realize that one or two moments, days maybe, spent with a certain person changed your course heading for your entire life and ministry. And for whatever reason, God sometimes works in these brief encounters. I mentioned at the banquet last night that we first met Mike and Bev Bullmore in Thunder Bay, Ontario, at a Bible conference held at Kathy Kim's father's church in 2009. Did you get all that? It's complicated because neither the Bullmores nor the Martins are from Thunder Bay. We didn't know anything about each other, really, or about that church or that conference. But being with Mike and Bev, Susan and I were both there, for that few days was precious to us. And in that brief encounter and subsequent ones, I feel like Mike and Bev have discipled Susan and I for the last 16 years. It's not as if we've spent a ton of time together. Mike has preached here once before. I don't know how that happened. It should have been many more times. I preached at Crossway one time, the church that he pastored for 25 years. Then they had their 25th anniversary, and he retired. I'm not doing the same thing, because he's much, much older than me. yeah. But Mike and I would touch base here and there, rejoice when we would get shared preaching assignments at some conference somewhere or something where we could sneak off and catch up and fellowship together. Every time I'm with Mike or Mike and Bev, or I catch something Mike's been doing online, I feel like I've been corrected, helped, strengthened, challenged, encouraged. I am absolutely certain that their influence is all over this local church. In particular, our goal of trying to keep the gospel at the center of our church's life. You heard a little bit of that if you were at the banquet last night. But there's all kinds of pastory things that I'm not going to list because I fall so short from the example my brother has set that I think he has taught me. And so when we began to consider, oh, it'd be nice to bring in a special preacher for our anniversary service, that took a nanosecond to think about and a very quick email. There was no question in our mind who we wanted to have come, and I was just so delighted that Mike was able to come and then to be able to bring Bev so that we could have some time together. In God's strange providence, Susan and I have been ill. Our time has been limited with the Bullmores, but Steve and Kathy enjoyed a lovely dinner, and we'll take that as God's good providence. And we are so just humbled and thankful, Mike, that the Lord has brought you here to bring God's word to us. May the Lord bless your work. Come and preach for us, brother.
Well, it has already been such a privilege to be with you for this very special weekend. We have felt so welcomed. And Paul and Susan, thank you particularly for the way you've welcomed us. This has been wonderful to celebrate with you. And this is not the only thing that we've enjoyed, but what a joy to sing with you. Brother, someone has taught your church how to sing. It was wonderful last night. It was wonderful again this morning. So thank you so much for welcoming us and allowing us to participate in what I'm sure is just a very special weekend for you. And now I have the privilege to stand here and to invite you to please take your Bibles and open with me to the book of Romans, chapter 5. At some point, pretty much every time I preach, at some point during the preparation process, I think about why we do this, what we're about to do. Why do we, for a significant part of our time together every Sunday morning, why do we sit quietly and listen to someone teach from this book? Well, the answer to that question is that the truth is in here. And it's very important for our lives that we know the truth so that we can actually live by, think according to, and be in line with the truth that is in this book. And this passage that I want us to look at together this morning has an unusual concentration of truth. Truth that it's very clear God wants us to know. Truth he wants us to have firmly fixed in our minds and in our hearts so that we can actually live in the good of this truth. So let's look at this together this morning. Now, before we take time to look at this particular passage, let me just give what I hope is a helpful overview of the book of Romans. Romans is all about what God has done for sinners through Jesus, God declaring us righteous, justified, based on what Christ did, which we receive by faith. And we can see Romans develop that in kind of four steps. First step, number one, our need for justification. That's Romans chapter 1 through the middle of chapter 3. And then step 2, the provision of justification. That's the middle of chapter 3 through chapter 4. And then step 3, the benefits of justification. You see that starting here in chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified, that's chapter 5 all the way through chapter 8. We probably should include chapters 9 through 11 in that step. And then step 4, the implications of justification. That's chapter 12, where Paul says, I appeal to you now, based on what God has done, I want you to live your lives. That's from chapter 12 all the way through to the end. So we could think of these steps in terms of four questions Step one, what is our need? Step two, what did God do? Step three, what do we now have? Step four, how should we then live? And so here now in chapter 5, Paul is entering into this new step where he will tell us about the results, the benefits of our justification. And may I just say, it's really important truth for us to get. We need these truths. There will be times, there will be circumstances, and not just every now and then, but regularly, when these specific truths will be needed to fortify your soul and revive your faint and doubting heart. This is immensely practical truth. That's why it's here. God wants us to know this and to have this firmly planted in us. So I'm going to read this again. I know Tim read this for us a moment again, but I want to read this. You listen, you follow along as I read, and listen particularly for what we have because of what God has done for us in Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly, for one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. I'm so eager for us to see what God has for us here this morning. But first, let me just share with you a little bit from Charles Dickens. Early on in Charles Dickens' classic story of Oliver Twist, after Oliver has been moved away from the boarding house where he spent his early years and is now in the workhouse with 100 or so other boys doing their menial labor day after day after day and subsisting on a bowl of gruel served 3 times a day with the very special treat of an onion on the weekends. One day, after finishing his bowl of gruel, Oliver, egged on by his workmates and no doubt by his own hunger, he takes his empty bowl and he goes up to the master, Mr. Bumble. It's a famous scene. Little Oliver standing there, lifting up, holding up his bowl and uttering these famous words, "Please, sir, can I have some more?" And Mr. Bumble and his sidekick, Mrs. Mann, are just utterly aghast, completely caught off guard that someone should even imagine getting more. And after Mr. Bumble regains his composure, he marches young Oliver before the parish board, where again there is this great astonishment over the audacity of Oliver asking for more. That request is the cause of great distress and great punishment for Oliver. You see, in that system that is marked by this begrudging exactitude and stinginess, this strict adherence to rules and regulations, it is absolutely out of the question to think that there would be anything like more. Friends, how different it is with the grace of God. How different it is in Christ. And the New Testament loves to speak about how different it is. With God, it is lavish grace, abundant grace. In Christ, it is grace upon grace, more and more and more, far beyond what we could ask or imagine. And we see that emphasized here in Romans chapter 5. It's communicated so clearly by that repeated word, more. Did you notice it as I read it? In verse 1, we have something, but in verse 2, we also have another thing, and then in verse 3, it's more than that. And that's the way it goes through the rest of this passage. In verses 9, 10, and 11, three times, verse 9, much more. Verse 10, much more. Verse 11, even more than that. Paul is beginning right here to tell us all we have in Christ, and it's that word more that tells us that God is lavish with the goodness that he has given us through Christ. He's given us so much. You see, being in Christ, it's not as if we need to come to God and hold up our bowl and say, please, sir, can I have some more, only to hear God say, what? No, he has given so freely. He pours out. Or to use just a little different image, the benefit package of being a Christian is amazing. I mean, you start to read through this list and you can't believe it. There's this, oh, and this, and this, and it just keeps going. God stacking on benefit after benefit. You can see this all the way through the next several chapters, culminating in chapter 8. But here in chapter 5, Paul begins with this little mini avalanche of benefits. In fact, six things Paul names here, benefits of our justification, things that we have if we have received by faith this gift of righteousness from God. His righteousness applied to us in Christ, thereby declaring us justified. Look at those opening words of verse 1 again. Therefore, please notice this, Paul's emphasizing it, therefore, since we have been justified. And Paul is off and running. So that's what I want us to spend our time looking at this morning. I just want us to see what's here, to set these truths before us. This truth here in Romans 5 is so important, and it's important that we know it so that we can live in the good of it. Actually allowing it to shape our thinking, to shape our mindset, to shape our perspective so that we can regularly speak it to ourselves and speak it to one another. But before I lay these six things out, I want to make sure that we see that everything that Paul says here in Romans chapter 5 is resting on the foundation that Paul has already laid down in chapters 3 and 4. Just look back for a moment to chapter 3, verse 23. Paul says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. Paul is speaking there about the redemption that we have received through the substitutionary death of Christ on our behalf. In fact, Paul reiterates that very same thing here, right in the middle of our passage. Did you notice this? Look at verses 6 through 8 of chapter 5. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Things were not right between us and God. We were under his just judgment, but something has happened to change that. And what has happened was, watch my hand, Christ died for our sins. Maybe you remember that from last night. Christ died for our sins. You see it there in verse 6. Christ died for us. You see it again there in verse 8. Christ died for us. Friends, the death of Christ is the objective, historical, unchangeable, rock-solid foundation of our justification. God did something through the death of Christ that we could never do for ourselves. We were estranged. We needed to be reconciled. His love did not wait for us, for some moral improvement in us. Aren't you glad? We have not done the least thing to deserve this. And so in verses 6 through 8, Paul points to the foundation again. He makes sure that we get this. So that opening phrase in verse 1 sums up the central, the amazing thing that God has done for us in Christ. We've been justified. We have this new status. And now he says, therefore, since. And he proceeds to begin to tell us what we have being justified, what we now have. Six things. Let's get them very clearly in our minds this morning. First, benefit number one, we have peace with God. Verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's be clear. Paul is not talking there about a feeling of peace. God gives that, but that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about this objective status of our relationship with God. The estrangement is gone. The enmity is gone. There is instead the presence of this completely healthy, completely right relationship with God. This language of reconciliation that Paul uses later in this chapter just really picks up this rightness that now exists between us and God. And please notice what Paul makes a point of there in verse 1. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, make no mistake, peace with God, relationship with God, comes through and only through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I find it more than just a little interesting that every chapter in this section of Romans ends by making that point. Did you ever notice this? End of chapter 5, look there. Leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. End of chapter 6. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. End of chapter 7, look at verse 25. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. End of chapter 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You almost think Paul had something on his mind. It's the same here in chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's not think, and let's not let anybody else think, that you can be good with God. I hear this from people. I'm good with God. Listen, you cannot be good with God independent of faith specifically in Jesus Christ. So, first benefit, we are at peace with God. Friends, let's be careful not to underestimate that. Let's not let that be some small thing. I mean, think about the greatest being in the universe, God himself, who holds my life, your future in his hands. I tell you, I want to be in right relationship with him. And in Christ, you are. That is something we have because we've been justified. And Christian, can I say to you this morning, that is something you should treasure every day. Second, benefit number two, we have access to grace. I love the way Paul says this. I love even more that he says it, that it's true. Look at verse 2. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Paul uses here this language of kind of coming into a place, a new space that is characterized by grace. The place we were in, the atmosphere was all law, harsh, exacting, like some workhouse in a Dickens novel. But now, having been declared righteous, we are no longer under the law. We've been brought into this new place where there's freedom. You can breathe. And notice, we're not just granted occasional access, but this is where we live. This is where we're standing. This is where we get to stay. It's continuous and it's secure. I ask you this morning, don't you love this place? And I'm not talking about this place. I hope you love this place too. I'm talking about this Romans 5:2 place, this place in which we now stand, this place of grace, where my daily experience now is one of knowing that I'm accepted, fully accepted as a son by God. He loves me. He has good for me. He loves to be gracious to me. Friends, let that sink in a little bit. God loves to be gracious to his children. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? So this is something we have, access to this grace because we've been justified. And Christian, can I say to you this morning, you should treasure that every day. Third, benefit number three. It's this thing called hope. Look at the middle of verse 2. And, don't miss that little word. In addition to the things I've already mentioned, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Paul now begins to think about our situation in terms of our future. He says, because we've been justified, we are now able to rejoice. That word actually is the word boast. And what Paul means by that is that we're joyfully confident about something. Well, what are we now that we're justified, so joyfully confident about? Paul tells us right here, our hope in the glory of God. Well, what is that? Later in this book of Romans, Paul says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed to us. And not only will it be revealed to us, but we will ourselves be drawn into that. We will be glorified. We will share in God's glory. There is an eternal, weighty glory ahead of us. In fact, the final goal of God's plan in creation and redemption is this, I quote, to make known the riches of his glory upon his people, whom he prepared beforehand for glory. I'm just quoting here several passages from the book of Romans. Friends, we were made to enjoy and share in, this is amazing when you think about this, we were made to enjoy and share in the glory of God. We have, as Paul told us back in chapter 3, all fallen short of the glory of God that he intended for us in creation. But in Christ, we've been brought back, declared righteous, justified, and now we hope, we have confident assurance of that glory being restored to us in the fullness that God originally intended it to be. And that is something, please notice, we rejoice in now. We are joyfully confident in that now. So when you walk into work tomorrow morning with joyful hope, and someone says to you, what are you so happy about? What's the reason for the hope in you? You could say, well, I am in right relationship with God, which I'm really glad for, and I'm looking forward to experiencing the fullness of that someday the way God really intended us all to have it. See what that does to your work environment on Monday morning. And if they look at you strangely, you could just say, well, you asked. By the way, I'm not being facetious at all. You actually could say that. A joyful confidence in the future should mark every genuine believer. And the Bible tells us to be ready with an answer for those who ask about the hope that is in us. That is something we have because we've been justified, and Christian, it's something you should treasure every day of your life. Fourth, benefit number four. This one's going to stretch us a little bit. Here it is. We have joy in suffering. Look with me at verse 3. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Listen, Paul is very aware of reality. He's just spoken of the brightness of the glory that is coming, but he's very aware of the darkness that can sometimes hover over, often intrude into our ordinary lives. But amazingly, Paul says, since we've been justified, we are now joyfully confident about our present sufferings because they actually serve, don't miss this, they actually serve to strengthen our hope. Please notice Paul's logic. Suffering produces endurance, which produces character, which results in greater hope in us. It produces in us a deeper conviction of the reality of who we are hoping in and what we are hoping for. Listen, nothing gets wasted in God's economy. Nothing. God will use your suffering, and one of the things that God will do with your suffering is strengthen your hope. God will show you who you really are, that you really are His, which will increase your hope, which is where this wonderful truth at the end of verse 5 comes in. Did you notice this? Because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. Listen, that's just not some nice throw-in here. In Romans chapter 5, Paul is saying, through our times of suffering, during our times of suffering, God will, by His Spirit, which He's given to us, He will continue to pour out His love into our hearts, letting us know that we are loved by God. So rather than our hope being put to shame, or us being put to shame for having a false hope, our experience of God loving us will show our hope to be real. So we can rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that in our sufferings, God is going to be at work to increase our hope, not take it away. And He's going to be at work in us, assuring us of His love, which is a wonderful thing. By the way, this is the first mention of the Holy Spirit in the book of Romans. And I love the fact that it is with reference to His ministry of making us deeply and refreshingly aware that God loves us. That is a distinctive ministry of the Holy Spirit whom God has given to us. All of this, all that we see in verses 3 through 5, all of this we have because we've been justified and Christian. It's something you should treasure every day of your life. Benefit number 5. Assurance of absolute safety on Judgment Day. Verse 9, please notice, after Paul relayed that foundation in verses 6 through 8, now he repeats how he started in verse 1. Look at verse 9. Since, therefore, we have now been justified. Does that sound familiar at all? It's exactly how Paul started this chapter. Since we have been justified, so he goes there once again. But now there's another thing he wants to add. Verse 9. Since therefore we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. And he makes exactly the same point in verse 10. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. You know, when we hear that language of salvation, we typically think about our conversions, about first getting saved. But here, Paul is using the very same language to speak of our final salvation, our final deliverance from sin and death and judgment. Yes, we're saved now if we are in Christ, but that salvation won't be fully realized until that day. Now it's absolutely certain for those who are in Christ. I mean, that's Paul's point here. There is a day of reckoning coming. Martin Luther said at one point, I've got 2 days on my calendar, today and that day. There's a day of reckoning coming. Just look back at chapter 2 for a moment. Chapter 2, verse 5. But because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. Please remember, when the Bible speaks about wrath, it's not talking about some uncontrolled outburst from God. No, this is God's completely right, completely just, strong opposition to sin. And on that day, no one who is outside of Christ will be able to stand. The book of Revelation talks about people crying out for the rocks to cover them, to hide them from the just judgment of God. But Paul's point here in Romans chapter 5, verse 9, is that if you are in Christ, if you've been justified, declared righteous, based on your trusting in Christ's death for you, you will know absolutely nothing of God's judgment on that day. Do you see how Paul argues there in verses 9, verse 10? If God went all the way to secure your justification at great cost to himself, you think he's going to drop the ball at the goal line? No, you are the object of his absolutely sovereign, all-powerful love. He has rescued you. He has secured you. You are absolutely safe. That is something we have because we've been justified. And Christian, can I just say to you, you should treasure that every day of your life. All right, one more. You know what I feel like right now? I feel like I'm rushing down a hallway with a bunch of doors, and I'm flinging open a door and saying, hey, look in there, that's for you, we got to go. Flinging open another door. We could spend a morning on every one of these things. One more. Verse 11. Notice how it starts. More than that, more than I've already told you, Paul says, on top of all of those things, verse 11, we also rejoice in God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. You know what Paul is saying here? There is no benefit that is comparable to the benefit of God himself. No joy is comparable to the joy that is found in being in right relationship with God himself. And this is not some kind of special experience reserved for like super mature Christians. No, this is for all of us who have been justified. This is what we Christians do. We rejoice in God. Do you see how verse 11 kind of advances the benefit package to a whole new level? This is the highest good of the justification package. We've been made right with God so that we can enjoy God himself. What is the highest and deepest and most significant benefit of being justified, being declared righteous? We get to enjoy God the way that we were made to enjoy him, as our Father and our Shepherd and our King and our Guide. God himself, enjoyed by his people. Please notice again, this is through Jesus Christ, who, as the Apostle Peter tells us, suffered in our place, the righteous for the unrighteous. Why? To bring us to God. Whom have I in heaven but you? And having you, I desire nothing else on earth. As for me, the nearness of God is my good. Yes, my heart and my flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Friends, he is and will be forever our complete satisfaction. We were made for him. This is something we have because we've been justified. And brother, sister, that's something, he's something you should treasure every day. Listen, God's grace is amazing. What his plan for us includes is just amazing. Everything here in Romans 5, 1 through 11, all of this, and there's more to come, but everything here is meant to show you that if you are in Christ, God is for you with an amazingly lavish grace. Grace upon grace upon grace. It is truth to live on. And we need it operating every day. All right, let me wrap this up with just two brief, but I hope helpful points of application. first, application number one. I know I'm not your senior pastor, but I'm going to speak pastorally to you on your 25th anniversary. May I? Grace Fellowship Church, treasure this gospel. Treasure this good news, all of it. Do it together. Do it individually, but do it together as a church. Treasure what you have in Christ. If you have come to Christ in faith, you are completely justified, and therefore you are at peace with God. You've been given access to live in grace. You are filled with hope. You are able to rejoice in sufferings. You are assured of absolute safety on Judgment Day, and you are able to enjoy God. Live in that. You know, I served as a pastor for 25 years at Crossway Community Church. I longed for everyone who called Crossway their church home to be marked, clearly marked by a deep personal treasuring of this amazing news. Of all that we have from God through Christ, and I long for the same for you as a church. You should treasure this every day. One of the great impulses that we see throughout the Bible that should mark individual Christians and Christians together is this treasuring of Christ and what we have in Him. I love the line from the old hymn, "Oh, how happy are the people who the gospel know and love." And that leads directly to my second application. Number two, express your gratitude to God. In fact, express your joy. Three times in these verses, we are told we have grounds for rejoicing. Verse 2, we rejoice. Verse 3, we rejoice. Verse 11, we rejoice. Martin Luther, commenting on this very passage, said, he said, the Apostle Paul speaks as one who is extremely happy and full of joy. I like that. Extremely happy and full of joy because of this truth, and it's clear that Paul expects us to be as well. A major characteristic of a justified person is joy. Joy in God Himself. So let's test this. Let's just say that there's some hard things in your life these days. And your JQ, do you know what your JQ is? Your joy quotient. Your joy quotient is being affected. Let's just say that your joy quotient is like a 4 on a scale of 10. And then, as you hear these precious truths from Romans chapter 5, and you think about them, and you take them in, and you combine them, the hearing of the word, with faith, and that moves your joy quotient from a 4 to a 5. Maybe even a 6. That's good, right? There's some real joy there because of this truth having its effect. Joy that wasn't there before. Now, please don't think that you're supposed to be at a 10. Don't think that you're not a good Christian or that Christianity's not all it's cracked up to be if your JQ isn't a 10 most of the time. In fact, I don't think it's ever going to be a perfect 10 in this lifetime. That glory is up ahead. We rejoice in the hope of that glory. But we can live in greater joy now than we would if this truth, this Romans 5 truth, was not known and not treasured and not operating in your hearts and minds. So, dear people of Grace Fellowship Church, so much God has given us. So much more. Let's know it. Let's live in the good of it, and let's allow it to affect us in every single corner of our lives, just as God means it to. That's why He's put it here. to his glory. Let's pray.